brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's Nerd's Domain podcast. What you're going to hear here is a bunch of interviews from Gen Con 2014 that Justin recorded for us. You're going to hear a lot of background noise, and we apologize for that, but there wasn't a lot we could do. That's just the way the conventions work. This is the first of potentially three episodes, and we may squeeze it into two. I'm not sure how long the second one's going to be, but there are several interviews here about all kinds of stuff, and you should definitely check all of them out.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerd's Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Rob Hebert from Terrible People LLC.
Can you tell me a little bit about your product?
We make A Terrible Time, the party game where everyone loses. It's kind of like a high-stakes party game that combines elements of like truth or dare and team-based challenge stuff. Okay. So we have art, facts, and performance. On your team's turn, you roll a die. It tells you which of the challenge decks to draw from. We have different subcategories in there for like little mini-games within there. My favorite one is one. Can you curse on this thing?
Yeah.
There's one called Shitty Tattoos, where you draw on your partner with a marker that we provide, and they have to guess what it is. So it's kind of like some win-lose or draw elements in there. There's some cranium, some cards and type stuff. It's all centered around terrible things, right?
Okay.
And the twist is that if your team fails their challenge, they have to draw from the Black Humiliation deck, which is a terrible thing that you either need to do or allow to be done to you as a punishment. We already have three expansions that are based off of TV, movies, and video games.
Oh, nice.
All of the humiliations in there are also themed off of those things. So, for instance, one of my favorites is in the TV deck, there is a humiliation that's you are now a male protagonist on the TV show Game of Thrones. Please recount a story from your childhood while you pretend to fuck one of your teammates. So it's real fun. Like, all the humiliations, they run the gamut from aggravating to just mean to goofy to gross, all over the place. Just like a really, really, really fun party game.
Sounds nice. Well, can you give me an average runtime of it, or is there an end goal? Just kind of playing until you're tired, or
No, there actually is. There's a board, and there are certain cards from the humiliation deck that are called Maverick cards that can kind of manipulate where people are on the board and switch around the teams and stuff like that.
Oh, nice!
But everybody is on a race to hell. The finish line is a spot called hell, and the reason why we call it the party game where everyone loses is because even if you make it to hell, which is, you only need to complete five challenges successfully to get to hell. If you get to hell without ever having done a humiliation, no matter what, you have to do a humiliation to win this
really?
Game. So everyone loses. The runtime is usually about 35 to 50 minutes. First time we play, probably about an hour as you kind of get used to it. Now when we play, it's about 30, 40 minutes, so we usually play two games, maybe we'll switch up the teams between them or whatever. And it's really fun. It also depends, like, it's like anything, like Trivial Pursuit, or we have like a lot of trivia and stuff in here as well, and drawing and performance where you're acting out. Acting out mini games like improv or charades or something like that. So a lot of it depends on how good the teams are, how big they are. Obviously, the game surprisingly runs a little bit faster when you have like 4-on-4 rather than 2-on-2-on-2, because people, if they have three people guessing, you tend to get it right more often.
True.
But they're all timed. They're all timed challenges, so it does keep it like clipping along, which is really good.
Great. Well, is there a website people can find yet? Maybe
yes.
Facebook?
Aterribletime.com. You can find us there. And then you can also find us on Facebook if you search for A Terrible Time, or Terrible People LLC is the actual name of our... And that's where you can find stuff for... this is the first game that we have out right now, but you can follow us on Facebook or check the website, and pretty soon you'll be able to order it through there. On our Facebook, we'll have news whenever we come up with new expansions. Coming up, we have Terrible Comic Books, Terrible Sports, and Terrible Music. They'll be themed on those, so you can pick your poison as far as it's concerned.
Cool. Well, is there any other conventions you're going to this year?
Not this year, but we will definitely be at Wizard World New Orleans starting in January. We'll probably go back to PAX East next year, and we're looking at some other ones. And we're based out of California, So pretty much anything that we can drive to from LA, we'll try to get a spot at. Try to sell, at least show up and, Latin and stuff like that. But hopefully have a few games to sell.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Neil Hoffman from Nine Kingdoms.
Can you tell me a little bit about your game?
Absolutely. The game is Apocalypse. It is a card game. It's a strategy game about surviving the zombie apocalypse. The idea behind the game is it's competitive, and you take turns. You choose a band of survivors, and you're each going to have a 60-card deck, and you're going to be trying to defend your stronghold against your opponent and their raiders. You're going to take turns, and the turns have each have five phases, so you're going to be placing characters, weapons, etc., at locations, whether it's your location to defend or your opponent's location to attack. You're going to be scavenging for resources at other locations. You're going to be engaging in combat. And finally, you're going to be feeding your people. You use your cards to feed your people. So not only do they do stuff, but you also discard. So as opposed to a deck builder, it's like a deck depleter. And when you can no longer feed your survivors, then you are out of the game.
Okay. Can you tell me about the average runtime, if everybody knew the rules?
If everybody knew the rules, the average runtime is 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
For one-on-one, and it would be longer depending on how many additional players.
So how many players can play?
Well, we say it's 2 to 4. If you have additional decks, I don't see why you couldn't do more than 4, and it would be every man for himself. We even have rules for 2-on-2.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit about the components, like how many cards?
Yes, the box has 4 60-card pre-constructed decks, and then it also has an additional 64 cards, so that once you get the hang of it, you can start customizing your decks.
Okay.
Kind of an LCG model. There's no further cards to buy. They're all in the box.
Great. Is there any conventions you're going to be at in the future where people can find it?
That is a great question. You know, we're still sorting through our convention schedule. We try to get to whatever we can. I know we're going to be at Metatopia, which is in Morristown, New Jersey. Beyond that, we're still trying to lock down our convention schedule for the rest of the year. I would love to get to the Board Game Geek in Texas over, I think, Thanksgiving weekend. So we're working through that. And we're here with Shari, so we're going to see if we can get to some other cons with her as well.
Okay. Is there a place where people can find you? A website?
Absolutely.
Facebook?
Absolutely. So the game is available in all stores. All the distributors are carrying the game, so you can just go into a store and ask for it. You can also go to our website. It's ninekingdoms.com. Spell out the word nine. And we're happy to sell the game through the mail as well.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with...
This is Jason with Golden Egg Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
All right. I'm doing exhibiting for Atlas, the Duel for Divinity. That's the game we're focusing on at Gen Con. It's a two-player tactical combat game. Each of the players is a god. You get to create 3 alpha characters before the game. Those are customizable units that you're allowed to summon each time.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the components?
Okay, yeah. We have these nice... We have 41 models for 2 sets of characters. They're high quality. We have 4 different models of characters. We have your flyer, your ranged character, a magic user, and your more tanky bruiser type guy. These look great painted, and they look great on the board.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the rules?
Sure, absolutely. You'll have a pool of 250 points that you'll use each turn to summon units. Each unit will have a different cost, depending on how much abilities, magical spells, weapons you want to add to that character. So once you summon them onto the battlefield, they're going to fight out over 3 different relic icons that we have over the board. When one of your units, one single unit, controls 2 relics, you've won the game. The portal opens, the god enters the world, game over.
Okay. If 2 players knew how to play by the rules, 100%, about how fast is the average game?
The average game will run about, once you get really good at it, about 45 minutes. We say the average time is about 60. It'll go a little quicker.
Okay. Can you give me any idea about what the retail price would be for this?
Yeah, the retail price we're asking is $70 for it. You get a ton of menus. I think it's a great time.
Do you know of any expansions or anything in the future planned for this particular game?
Yeah, actually, we have some promo cards in the Gen Con specific right now, but we're always working on expansions that will give you additional abilities, additional weapons, things of that nature.
Okay. Is there going to be any other conventions you're going to be at this year where people can see it?
That's up in the air right now. We have plans to possibly have some sort of presence at BGG. We're not quite certain yet, but you'll see us at some cons very soon.
Okay. Is there a website or Facebook page people can contact yet?
Yeah, just go to goldeneggames.com. You can get additional information on the game, rule books. Take a look at it. I think you'll enjoy it.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm here with
Jess Banks.
Can you tell me a little bit about your game?
Absolutely. Atlas Games is really pleased and proud to present second edition of Gloom. It's a very, very popular game that gives you a thoroughly despicable group of people who are your family, and it's your job to make them as miserable as possible before you kill them in interesting ways. Game's been a huge hit for about 10 years now, but we are really delighted to have had a chance to make a few changes to the card design and clarify and clean up some of the effect text to make the game flow more smoothly. All the things we wanted to see are now in the new edition. It's totally backward compatible, which means if you've already got the first edition but you pick up a second edition expansion or something like that, everything goes together just fine.
Okay.
But the second edition expansions also have little icons on the card, so you can fish them back out of the deck again afterwards without needing a card list.
Is there anything mechanically changed between first and second edition, or is it kind of the same cards?
No, it's really essentially the same. The most change really happens. A few of the events were kind of overpowered and could really derail a game in some ways. And so we've readjusted the power levels so that it isn't quite as catastrophic when it happens. And it keeps play moving along nicely.
All right. Well, you mentioned expansions. About how many expansions do you have?
For the original theme of the game, which is the sort of Edward Gorey series of unfortunate events look, we have four expansions. Three of them, the first three, Unhappy Homes, Unwelcome Guests, and Unfortunate Expeditions, each adds a family so you can boost your player count, as well as a mechanic. For example, Unhappy Homes gives each family a residence, and then you get to enjoy all the wonders of home ownership. The only one that doesn't have a family is our newest one that came out last October. It's called Unquiet Dead. And instead of a new family, it introduces transformation cards, which lets your deceased family members continue their misadventures in the afterlife by coming back as zombies and mummies and ghosts and things.
Okay. You mentioned other themes. What kind of themes do you have?
We've got another theme of the game that is called Cthulhu Gloom. In that one, your families are replaced by groups of investigators, and all of the mostly bad events are Cthulhu-related, which is as it should be.
Yeah.
There's one expansion for that so far, which is Unpleasant Dreams, and that adds some of the events and things from the Dreamland stories, which is a really big hit with all the Lovecraftian fans. And then in the future, hopefully next year or two, we'll be adding Fairy Tale Gloom as a new base game. They're all compatible, and so you can actually merge Cthulhu Gloom and regular Gloom to make one giant 8-player game. It'll take you all weekend, but it'll be a whole lot of fun. So.
Great. Well, okay, is there a website where people can meet you, or a Facebook page?
Absolutely. We are on Facebook as Atlas Games. We also have a website, which is www.atlas-games.com.
Great. Is there any other cons you plan on going for the rest of the year?
We will definitely be at Dragon Con, but the members of our Special Ops demo team represent us wonderfully at local and regional conventions all over the world.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds of Made Podcast, and I'm here with
Lee King.
James, Nerds by the Mall.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you guys do?
We're mainly Magic, MTG. We do card games, board games. We run a shop out of Northwest Arkansas.
Okay. I heard you guys have a board game. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
We have two. One's called Mole Rats, and it's a... I'll let you...
Mole Rats is a co-op kind of game where up to three players face off against a dragon controlled by another player. The dragon's goal is to gobble up the mole miners, whereas they are trying to earn enough minerals to eventually tease the dragon into a cave and trap him there.
Okay.
Really fun game. We're mainly doing this one for, children, really easy to understand, basic.
How about what's the average playtime?
You could probably do this under an hour, yeah.
Nice. But do you guys have any other games planned, or?
We've got this one. It's called Lasers, Alien Crash. And this one's has a little bit more to it. You start off outside, and your team's of robots. So you're going onto the spaceship trying to just figure out what's up. It's crashed. You're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And you have to roll to get on. You start off with a D4. You roll to get on. And then as you go in, you hit these crystals, and it upgrades your dice. You upgrade up into two. The object of the game is to get into the control room. And to do that, you have to roll a 40 or higher. So you have to upgrade your dice to get into it.
Yeah.
You can also use your dice to upgrade into extra rolls or re-rolls or whatnot. And you can also go from one color to the next and screw them out of their dice. So it's always fun to screw your neighbor.
So it is competitive, then.
Yeah, very competitive. And cutthroat.
Nice. Well, is there a website where people can find you? Maybe Facebook or something?
We do have, here's the card. It's Bears by the Mall. We have a Facebook. It's Bears Gaming Lounge.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds of Bang Podcast, and I'm here with...
Jonathan Lee. I'm the sales team leader for Butcher Road USA.
Can you tell me a little bit about your product?
All right, well, we have three card games that we're showing today. We have Card Fight Vanguard, Future Card Buddy Fight, and Vice Schwartz.
Okay, let's talk about the first one first. Can you tell me a little bit about the rules for the card game?
So for Future Card Buddy Fight?
Yeah.
Okay, so for Future Card Buddy Fight, it's a basic generic card game. You start off with six cards in your hand, and you have 10 life. So the rule of the game is to bring your opponent down to zero life by attacking them directly past the creatures. So you would have to kill off the creatures in the center in order to attack the player directly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once both players know the rules, about what's the average gameplay?
The average gameplay could be anywhere from 10 minutes to about 20.
Okay. Is this a collectible card game or a self-contained card game?
This will be a collectible card game. So we do have multiple sets for each of our card games.
Okay. About how often does a new set come out?
For Future Card Buddy Fight, we release a new product, either a trial deck, an extra booster, or a regular booster set, about maybe every 1 to 2 months.
Okay. Well, you mentioned you had two others. Can you tell me about another one?
Okay, so Card Fight Vanguard will be our bread and butter game. Basically, it has our bestseller. We've launched that one since, I believe, 2012, USA-wise. And then in Japan, we've had that for a few years.
Okay.
Before that.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how it plays?
So Card Fight Vanguard actually is a trading card-based system where we utilize a fun mechanic where you get to pick the top deck and reveal it in order to reveal triggers. And these triggers add added bonus effects to something called your Vanguard. And your Vanguard is a boss card on your field that never dies. And when you hit 6 damage, then you lose a game. And the only way to get damaged is if you hit their Vanguard.
Okay. And again, once both players know the rules, about what's the average run time?
Oh, that one is about the same thing, even from maybe 10 to 20 minutes, around there. Yeah, usually for our tournaments, it'll be about 20 minutes.
And you mentioned one more.
Oh, yeah, Vice Schwartz. Vice Schwartz is actually a combination of different anime series into one card game. So we have multiple licenses. We have things like Kill la Kill. We have Fairy Tales. We have Angel Beats, there's Persona 4, we have things like Madoka Magica, we have Fate Zero, and so on and so forth.
Okay. Yeah. And they all blend together, or are they standalone sets?
They do all blend together. I mean, there's two different formats we like to use. One where you can mix different series, and another one where it's just one series per deck.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's typically what we like to use for tournaments, is just the one series.
So are you going to be at any other conventions this year or next year?
For now, I'm not sure what the attendance list is, but we do attend the bigger conventions like AX and Gen Con. And also, we are also at Gamma as well as Origins.
Okay.
And other places as well.
Yeah. Do you have any other games that you can talk about that you're planning for the future?
Planning for the future. As of right now, our newest card game would be Future Card Buddy Fight that released in January of this year. So as for that one, I mean, we're going to see how that one trends with the public. And then thereafter, we may or may not produce more card games in the recent future, but definitely will in the far future.
Okay. Is there a website or a Facebook page people can reach you at?
The Facebook page we do for each of our card games. So it'll be the official Vice Schwartz, official Card Fight Vanguard, and official Buddy Fight. And each of those has their own website that you can go to. And we also have a Bush Road website. That's for generic use as well.
Great, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Justin. I'm with Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm here with
Ian Van Nest and Leaf Pile Media.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about your product?
Yeah, so we are a relatively new gaming company that just graduated from school and are trying to make our way in the gaming world. So we've developed two games. One is called Champions of Hara, and we're really excited about it. It's coming out on Kickstarter in about a month, and it's an action RPG where you take control of a hero and sort of fight your way through other heroes and monsters to level up and become the most powerful champion of Hara.
Nice.
So, essentially, we started designing games because we love certain aspects of games, but always felt like we could do a couple things better.
Yeah.
We've been really working with a very simple design strategy. We think that cards should be as easy to understand as possible, and then you build the complexity of the game through how those cards interact with one another and how players interact with one another. So our design philosophy is very much sort of based on building the gameplay experience as you learn to play the game. And it's been really fun designing games so far. People have had a great response and are really excited to bring our games to a larger audience.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the game actually plays?
Yes, absolutely. So each turn, you get to move your hero around the board. The game is very much about positioning, so you want to be aware of where other heroes are on the board and where you are. Each turn, you flip a card from the event deck in order to, which will either be a rift, which you use to score points, a monster, which you can kill to score points, or an event that physically changes the location of the board tiles and sort of messes with the entire gameplay experience. So every time you fight a monster, you earn some energy points, and you can use those to level up your hero. Each time you level up your hero, you get to add new cards to your hero deck and actually make your deck stronger and make your hero more powerful. So as the game goes on, you're leveling up, you're trying to become the first person to unlock all three resources. You need 5 points of each color of the resource, that's red, blue, and green. And then you want to get to the center of the board to sort of try your luck at winning the game.
Okay. You mentioned this is coming out on Kickstarter soon. Do you have a goal set for the date already, or...?
We're looking for about $15,000 on Kickstarter. That will fund our initial production run and give us enough to start finishing up the art. We've been working with a couple of really, really great artists, but they kind of need to eat, so yeah. We need to be able to keep paying them. We are hoping that it all works out on Kickstarter because... we think that people will really like this game. We think that people will really enjoy it. It's something new, it's something different, it's something kind of fun.
Yeah. I know it's a little early, but have you thought about future games or possible expansions?
Yeah. We actually, one of the first things that we want to do is develop a co-op version of this same game. So we're going to release a separate event deck with a sort of villain that I don't want to tell you too much about yet because it sort of comes with the story as it builds. but the villain deck would totally change the way the game is played, in which all of the heroes would be sort of working together to fight this big villain and preventing the world from becoming too centralized.
Nice. Is there a website or a Facebook page where people can find you?
There is a website and a Facebook page. We're at championsofhara.com. Also check out championsofhara.the-comic.org to check out the comic that sort of narrates the entire game. Additionally, you can find us at Facebook/LeafPileMedia, which is our company's page.
Nice. Is there any other conventions you plan on being at anytime soon?
We're hoping to attend PAX Prime. We're not going to be showing at PAX, but we're going to be there. We're going to have tablets with us to show off our game.
Yeah.
Hopefully, generate some interest. So find us there.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jessen with TheNerdsDomain.com. I'm here with
Tom Dog Leash.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
We are a publisher of games, and we have two divisions. One is a role-playing game division that produces The Harn World, which is a very detailed, gritty, medieval fantasy world. And the other part of it is we do war games, and that was how we started, actually. We started in 1972, that is.
Oh, yeah.
And we might be the oldest company in the business.
Nice. Can you tell me about your most recent game?
Our most recent game is a game called Victory in Europe. A prototype is to be seen down there, but it was funded on Kickstarter, and which is happening to a lot of games these days. And it's going to be due out in October.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the how it plays, the rules and whatnot?
Well, it's a war game, so it's primarily a two-player game. There is an option. It deals with World War II in Europe. And so there is an option for a third player, the Soviets, or the Soviet Union. So it's a two- or three-player game. It takes, if you play the whole war, from 1939 to 1945, it will take you 6 hours to play. But there are historical starting positions for each year of the war. So you can start in 1940, you can start in 1941, and it gives you the historical starting position in each of those years.
Nice.
So if you want a two-hour game, you start in 1943 and you play from there.
Okay. Are you guys going to be at any future conventions?
Future conventions?
Yeah.
Sure, we go to... we're going to go to the Board Game Geek Convention in Dallas, which is in November. And we just came from the World Board Game Championship Convention, which is held each year in Pennsylvania. And then there's a few regional cons we go to. There's one in L.A. we go to, Stratacon.
Okay. Is there a website or Facebook page where people can reach you?
There's a website. It's www.columbiagames.com.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Jim Felly.
Can you tell me a little bit about what your product is?
So we're with a company called Devious Weasel Games, and our product is a cooperative board game called Shadows of Malice for 2 to 8 players. You could play solo, with the mechanic that everyone can influence the outcomes of the die rolls on everybody's turn.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit about the theme of it?
The theme is that ages past, there was a Dark Lord that tried to take over the world, standard fantasy trope. The Avatars of Light took pity on the mortals, took mortal form, and unsealed the wells of the ancients to let light into the world. They were light wells. Banished the demon. Now, over time, after they departed, the demon was not destroyed, but is living in the shadow realm, slowly gaining strength, and sending its evil and shadows out into the world, perverting the creatures, the flora and fauna, into monsters. The wells have begun to fall dark, and the players play the avatars returned to try to unseal the remaining light wells. There will be just enough light wells left at the beginning of the game that if the players find and unseal them all, they keep the demon out. But if the demon shadows enter the world and find any one well, then they bring the demon in and the players have to fight the demon away.
Okay. It seems like there's a lot of components to this game. Is there?
There are. There are five decks of cards. There's a deck of special masteries for each player, which is their avatar's ability to manipulate the power of light. We use a refraction theme in the game, so the abilities are refracted amongst the players, and as they reveal light wells, the light power is refracted also into special abilities that they get. There are decks of cards for treasure, for potions, for creature abilities, for bait. We use a mechanic in the game where there are no fixed creatures. There's no orcs, no dragons, none of that. Every creature is rolled up as you encounter it, and is random because that's how the evil forces perverted that creature. So last night we had a game where they were fighting an undead mushroom. Time before that we had a game where they were playing an acidous and poisonous rabbit. So things get pretty funny. There's very little artwork on the cards to allow people to use their imaginations and tell their stories. It's more of a social game. There are also soul shards in the game, which are acrylic pieces. They represent portions of the life essence of creatures that are harvested when you defeat it. And those are used by all the players to affect the die rolls of other players. The game is keen on banding groups together rather than leaving them separate. So if groups are in a band, they can always invoke soul shards on behalf of each other to increase die rolls. The other mechanic of the game is that if you are not in a band, but you want to help your fellows, you're still all avatars of light, you're still linked through the light, you can still cast your soul shards to help them, but they may not work because you're not in proximity. So okay. Those are the main components.
Nice. So this is a friendly game, non-competitive, cooperative?
Non-competitive, all the players against the environment. It's a race, you can imagine, where you are racing to find the light wells before the shadows find one. The way that the cards and the abilities are structured is to be complementary to each other and work synergistically. So one person might have an ability where they can defend against energy attacks. Another player might have the ability to transform physical attacks into energy attacks. So those two work very well together. If they split off, their powers aren't nearly as powerful. There are other abilities on the cards where you can get bonuses to hit or to wound. But as you gain more power, as the light wells are revealed, and you gain the ability to wound, you might not need that sword anymore and might want to trade it to someone else.
Yeah.
Also, you can only have one item of any type. One sword or weapon, one armor.
Okay.
So if you draw another one, you've got to choose and throw one back, unless you're in a band, and then you can reallocate. You're free to form bands and break bands as you will. You get special bonuses in combat for being in a band. You get special penalties to movement because you move by the slowest person in the band.
Okay.
The potion cards are half-sized, and I know people hate half-sized cards, but I have to say why I made them half-sized.
Yeah.
Because you can have two potions.
Oh, okay, so it fills the...
Exactly. As long as they're different colors, you can have two, so it's the same real estate on the board.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll mention is that the potions, the creature abilities are color-coded. There's blue abilities, black abilities, etc. Certain shards for certain colors. But there's an image, a graphic with each color, so colorblind people can easily spot the color differences.
Nice. Okay. So what would be the average game time for people who knew how to play the game?
So the game comes with four map tiles and a shadow realm. The more tiles you use, the longer the game. I figure if you know the game, it's about an hour per tile.
Okay.
And you can also, there are scenarios in the rule book that allow you to play a challenging game if you get... think you really know the stuff.
Yeah.
An easy game or a very easy game. And that starting bonus, the starting revealing of things, sort of puts the game as though it's been going on an hour before you entered the game. So you can speed it up that way as well.
Nice, okay. Do you plan on any expansions in the future or anything you can talk about?
I have two visions for expansions. What each expansion would bring would be new terrain maps. And if the terrain maps come in, because the teleportation gate system is based on a six-sided die, there will be color-coded networks for teleportation.
Oh, okay.
Each expansion will bring in a new type of flavor of ability. So you've got electricity, fire, etc. The two that were saved and will come in later are psychic and sonic. I will not bring out any expansion that doesn't have a significantly different flavor to it that's not also fully integratable with the base set.
Yeah. So where can people find you? You have a website, Facebook, anything like that?
I have a website. It's deviousweasel.com. One word, deviousweasel. You can find everything there. And in fact, if they're interested, the rule book is posted, as well as an FAQ and a table of contents right on the rule book page.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for the time.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Michael from Eschaton Media.
Can you tell me a little bit about your product?
Sure. We do Chronos, the universal LARP system, also Dystopia Rising, Project Paradigm, entire line of different tabletop games for more traditional narrativist type gaming.
Okay. Well, I've heard of Dystopia Rising. Could you tell me a little bit about it, though?
Sure. It is a post-zombie apocalypse, so it is a lot of games do the entire fall of mankind. Ours is a combination tabletop and LARP. LARP is a coast-to-coast LARP network, full immersion weekends. The idea behind it is the world has fallen apart. We've already lost the zombie apocalypse. Humans are gone. And everything that's left over are the different strains of what was once humanity. It's sort of Mad Max meets a combination of Mad Max, Fallout, Walking Dead. It's a very gritty, very dark sort of future with some humor written into it as well.
Nice. Well, can you tell me a little bit about Chronos?
Sure. It is a card-based theatrical LARP system. The idea behind it is we wanted to be able to make conflict resolution take seconds instead of hours. And it's a universal system. So what you do is you're building a character deck. And when you're building a character deck, you're putting the aspects of your character together. And you stay in character and roleplay as you're doing conflicts. So that way, if you want to do one of our games, like Double Days, which is 1959, everything they said about rockabilly was and rock and roll being the devil's music was correct. You want to take those demonic powers and you want to take a traditional 1920s noir feel. You can take the powers from both games, put them together, and make your own custom world.
Oh, nice. Well, are you going to be at any other cons here this year?
This is towards the end of our con LARP, our con circuit. We normally do about a dozen conventions a year. I think we're going to be doing Metatopia in New Jersey, where we're going to be releasing some new products for testing. And Dystopia Rising LARP Network actually sort of does its own major event weekend called Death Con in October, where we get thousands of LARPers together, burlesque troops, performance troops, and live in the world for 4 days.
Nice. Well, is there a website where people can reach you? Maybe a Facebook page?
Sure thing. You can find Chronos through Facebook. If you just do a search for Chronos LARP, you will come up. Or Dystopia Rising, either of those come up. And we're also at eschatonmedia.com, but most people can't spell eschaton. So you can also just look up Dystopia Rising. That'll find us. Or really, just find me, Michael Pucci. I'm one of the writers for the LARPs.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Nate Dunleavy from Evanced Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about your product?
Sure. We have several different games. We have apps that kids can download for the iStore or Android. They're phonics-based early literacy games. We also have a math game for kids aged, first to fourth grade, and then a quiz game, which is free right now in the Apple Store, second to sixth grade. And then we're also have Wandu Planet, which is an interactive game that lets kids figure out what they're interested in and then recommend books, movies, and games based on the things that they like the most.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about how the apps look, like the graphics in them and things?
Yeah, absolutely. We focus a lot on really beautiful artwork. There's some fun animations in all the games. Froggy Phonics has an animated frog that hops around on lily pads. Tic-Tac Bananas allows kids to play a game of tic-tac-toe with a monkey who wants you to finish the words with the right letters. And then Champs of Numeria has some really cool sort of a graphic novel-inspired fun characters that kids can pick as avatars as they play sort of a math-based game of Connect Four.
Nice. Do you have any apps in the future planned that you can talk about?
Well, Wandu Planet is our big app. It's really in beta right now. Kids can play it online if they go to wanduplanet.com, and that's really where the bulk of our development and resources are headed. We also have a game called Wandu Reader, which works with library and school reading programs and allows kids to build their own robot to help incentivize reading logging behaviors.
Nice. Well, is there a website people can find yet, or a Facebook page?
Absolutely. They can go to evancedgames.com, evancedkids.com, or if they want to check out Wandu Planet, wanduplanet.com.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Ben Harkins from Floodgate Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about your product?
Yeah, our new game that we're launching this year is Epic Resort. It's a game where you're building a resort of attractions to attract tourists and fantasy heroes who are coming to get their much-needed rest. But the more you attract, the more likely monsters attack.
Ah.
Unfortunately for the tourists, because the heroes are on vacation, sometimes they dodge out of the way and let all the tourists get eaten by the monsters.
Can you tell me a little bit about the components of the game?
Yeah, it's we like to call it a deck evolution and worker placement game. So there's a little bit of familiar deck building components, but you're always swapping out one for one with the worker cards for that deck building aspect. And then you'll be upgrading attractions, which are cards that keep track of your resources, and all of your tourists go on there. So a lot of wooden bits, a lot of cards.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the average run time of a game is, if everybody knew the rules?
Yeah, about half an hour per player.
About a half hour?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about any other games you guys currently have out?
Yeah, we have Legacy Gears of Time. That's our flagship game. It's a card game about time travel and technology.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about anything in the future that you're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, next is probably another expansion for Legacy is what we're going to be doing.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, is there any place people can find you, like a website, Facebook,
you
that
got
sort
it.
Of thing?
Floodgate Games, everywhere.
Well, thanks a lot.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Doug Lewandowski from Meltdown Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about your game?
Sure. Gothic Doctor is our game. It's a game of monstrous medicine where you are a doctor in Victorian England trying to treat the monsters and miscreants from Gothic literature. So it's folks like Jacob Marley or Mr. Hyde or the Headless Horseman, down to some of their victims like lycanthropes or mortally wounded patients, specters, bite victims, etc.
Okay.
And so depending on how difficult it is to treat the patient, depends how much money you earn. So the easy ones, the victims, tend to be two treatments, whereas the legends, like Marley or Hyde, are four treatments. So using cards from your hand, the treatment cards there, you're going to match up the icons in the top left corner of the patient card, and you're going to cure them and earn the profit for them. Whoever
nice.
Earns the most profit at the end of the night becomes a new partner of the practice, which is the win condition.
Okay. Can you give me about an average run time if everybody knew the rules?
If everybody knows the rules really well, with two players, I played it in as little as 15 minutes. And with four players, I would say probably 25 minutes if everybody knows. First game, it's very, very rare for even a very first game for four players to run more than an hour.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the components?
Sure. This is the early edition of Gothic Doctor. So we just finished our Kickstarter in July. Printed off a couple as part of Kickstarter rewards there, and also to sell here. So the components are about 160 cards, a clock for the game, which has a counter that goes with it so you can track what round you're in, and a rule set. So it's components light right now. Eventually we're going to expand out to more components that we hit via stretch goals and everything, and that'll be coming out sometime in 2015, hopefully in the earlier part of that.
Can you tell me if you're going to be at any other cons around here where people might be able to find you?
Around here, no, since we're from New Jersey.
Well, anyway, my
co-creator's in VA. Any of the double exposure cons, chances are I'm going to be there.
Okay.
So in Morristown, New Jersey, that's Metatopia, which is great for board game designers to network and get their stuff play-tested. Dreamation and DexCon, which are their big conventions. And possibly Maelstrom this year, which is more of an open gaming kind of thing.
Okay. Well, is there a place where people can find you, like a website, Twitter, Facebook?
Sure. Our website is meltdowngames.com, like nuclear meltdown. And if they are interested in pre-ordering the game, if they weren't able to make it out here and they want to pre-order the Kickstarter version, they can go to bit.ly/getgothicdoc, and they can find out more information about it there.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with...
Lisa Steenson, Gutbusting Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
I think up, design, and develop board games that are fun, funny, and just a wee bit edgy.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you got?
I first came out with Redneck Life, and it's the player with the most teeth at the end that wins. Trailer Park Wars followed, where you get to manage a trailer park and you want to collect the most pink flamingo miniatures to win. Then Oh Gnome You Don't, the forest gnomes battle and brawl to be the richest in gems by the end of the game. The Cheap Shot card game is an insult-based rummy game. Then... Oh, Terror in the Trailer Park came out as an expansion to Redneck Life. Then today, just today, Thursday, of Gen Con, Flea Marketeers arrived, where you get to, you want to be the richest flea marketeer in town and deal in such amazing items as Shady Deals, Holy Sand Traps, nice knockers, and maybe some chocolate-covered bacon.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit about the components of the game? Of Flea Marketeers.
Oh, Flea Marketeers, it's a lot of visual deliciousness. There are 60 flea tables, and so I have gone about the country photographing things that you might find at a flea market. Like, for example, Phonehenge is a collection of antique telephones. They're kind of dusty, mixed up, wires all around, but it's a beautiful photo. So Phonehenge. Chompers are a collection of dentures. Bronanza is a table of course, you know, ladies wear. And so every player has their own flea book, which lists unique values. So, for example, Bronanza that Justin has on his table might be only worth $20 in his flea book, but in my flea book it might be $90. And so I would try to swindle him out of his Bronanza for the end of his turn.
Okay. So there's a lot of negotiation.
A lot of negotiation. You open your market for business, you can accept or reject cash offers for your items.
Can you tell me a little bit about the runtime?
The runtime with 5 to 6 players is going to be about an hour and a half. Your point is? Maybe 2 hours the first time you play, but it has a lot of player-to-player interaction, and we stress that your auction phase, when you open your market for business, keep it short and lively, short and lively.
Nice. Well, can you tell me about anything that's coming out in the future that you have ideas for?
Man, you're killing me. This just came out today. I would consider a nearly naughty expansion for Flea Marketeers. And then maybe Horrible House Pets. We've all had them.
Yeah. Well, is there a place where people can find you on the internet, like Facebook, websites, Twitter?
Gutbustinggames.com, and then Facebook, Gutbustinggames, and then local game stores, feed stores, hardware stores, carry the games. There's a retailer locator on the web, but any of your game and hobby retailers can order in and get the games.
Nice. Is there any conventions you're going to be going to nearby?
We go to Gen Con, but being out in Portland, Oregon area, to a couple local conventions there, but this is our big one.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with
Jeff Combos from Exile Game Studio.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
Sure. So we make board games, card games, and RPGs. RPGs is really our mainstay. Our flagship product is called Hollow Earth Expedition, and it's about feeding Nazis to dinosaurs in 1936. Sort of like Indiana Jones, but with dinosaurs.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the rules?
Sure. So it uses the Ubiquity system, which is a system I designed and have licensed off to other game companies who have done their own games using it. But it is an enhanced dice pool system. So I like dice pool systems. It's a nice, consistent success rate, but you roll too many dice too often. So that's what I tried to fix. When I say enhanced, that's what I mean.
So the target number is 50-50. You can use any dice you want with the game, as long as, you know, no cheating, no sevens, right? That doesn't work. But any normal dice, I just roll them and add even numbers. So D&D dice, okay. 4, 8, 10s, 12s, 20s, count even numbers. There you go.
Nice.
And I do that so you can take any dice pool, cut it in half, and say on average, that's how many successes I'll get. So it actually allows to speed up a lot of things. So if it's not dramatically appropriate to be rolling dice, you can just take the average and move on. In combat, I never roll dice. Actually, when I GM, I never roll dice. And my players do, because that's more fun. But it means that if there's a big combat and I have a bunch of Nazis fighting them, I can say, everybody's getting attacked. On average, there are 4 successes. Everybody rolls their defense. We resolve it simultaneously. Now it's the player's turn again, and nobody's listening to me roll dice behind the Game Master screen for half an hour.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the tricks of the game system. We actually have some special dice that even allow you to roll up to 1/3 less dice, but you don't need them for the game. I'm funny and I like dice, so I made them, but you don't need them.
Yeah. As a person who typically runs mods, is there a lot of modules for this yet, or...?
Yeah, so we actually just had a book come out called Perils of the Surface World, and it has 4 kind of jumbo adventures that you could just pick up and run in the Antarctic, in the Amazon, in Venice, and in Shanghai.
Okay. Do you have any products in the future you can talk about or plans?
I do. So what I did is I cut the pulp genre up into slices, because not everybody likes everything, right?
Yeah.
Some people may not want to fly a biplane on Jupiter with a talking gorilla. That just may not be their thing. So... what I did is the base core rulebook is Indiana Jones, very like that. Then the first expansion is The Shadow and the Rocketeer, those kinds of characters. And then we did All About the Hollow Earth, so that would be Tarzan, Lucidar, that kind of thing. Our new book coming out kind of end of this year, beginning of next, is Mars. So we're doing kind of the sword and planet genre as the next slice. So if you like a particular kind of pulp, you can just get that and just play that. If you like it all, get them all, have a good time.
Nice. Is there a website where people can find you?
Yes, exilegames.com or hollowearthexpedition.com will get you right there.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast, and I'm here with...
Liz Spain, designer of Incredible Expeditions.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
So, it's a steampunk exploration game. The steampunkest game there is. I can attest to that. But basically, imagine at the Mountains of Madness meets 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, okay.
So there's these crazy cadre of different characters from literature and history that go out and assemble an expedition to find Atlantis, which has been trapped in the ice of Antarctica. And they get there by various airships and sea ships and face terrible, horrible things that drive their crew crazy.
Is this a cooperative game or a competitive game?
It's actually both. Uh-oh. So I set out to design the game so that it would work either way. And so so the basic game is competitive, but you can also add this layer of the world working against everyone. So in the cooperative game, everyone bands together, and it's more of an endurance challenge to get to Atlantis before the world basically crushes everyone. And what I also discovered in designing this, there's also a solo mode.
Solo
is just the cooperative mode, one player.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the components of the game?
Oh, sure. So I really wanted to set out to showcase steampunk artwork and people and artists. So we've got over a dozen illustrators and many, many different steampunks featuring their costuming and sculpture and so forth. It was really important to me that the game is gorgeous, which can be a little deceiving because the game is actually incredibly hard, I've been told, and very strategic, but I wanted to make it beautiful. And we did a Kickstarter last year and raised enough money to not only added the things I wanted, like a custom die for the game that's designed by Chuck Stover, who designs the coolest 3D printed dice on the internet. So he designed a die for us, and we also got miniatures for the game, a unique one for each of the five ships.
Nice.
But with the Kickstarter, we were able to produce a very limited run of Grand Tour editions, which come in a vegan leather-bound campaign case with foil cards and custom steampunk coins and glass tokens and digitally printed canvas boards.
Oh, nice.
Because I went overboard.
So, is there any other conventions you plan on being at?
Oh, yes. In a few weeks, in September, we're going to be at PAX. PAX Prime in Seattle. And Steamposium shortly thereafter at the end of September in Seattle.
Okay. Do you have any other games in the future planned? Or?
Yes.
That you can talk about?
This is my first game. But I'm hoping that with its success, I will be able to make many more. Including a sequel to Incredible Expeditions Quest for Atlantis, which would be time travel themed instead of oceanic and horror themed.
Okay. Well, is there a place people can find you, like Facebook, the internet, Twitter?
Oh, absolutely. We're on Facebook as Incredible Expeditions, and you can also find us at IncredibleExpeditionsGame.com.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Justin with the Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm here with
Thomas Kohler, the creative director for Jasco Games.
Can you tell me a little bit about your latest product?
Well, currently our main product is the Universal Fighting System. It's a collectible card game that's been around since 2006, I do believe. It's a overarching rule system where you can take characters from different licenses and fight them against each other in a fighting game, kind of a la Street Fighter, Tekken,
along those lines.
We don't have any here, but our current release of Darkstalkers just came into the warehouse the other day, so we're going to be releasing those in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
So that's our big thing.
You mentioned multiple licensings. What all licensings do you have for it?
Well, currently we have Mega Man and Darkstalkers, plus our own original license, Red Horizon. In the past, we've had Street Fighter, Soul Calibur, Tekken, and King of Fighters, as well as Samurai Showdown, a couple others.
Okay. So about how often do you come out with new product for that?
Well, right now we're working on having sets come out about every 4 months, give or take. But that's the aim.
Yeah.
To get every 4 months, a consistent schedule. So we have the Mega Man, the Darkstalker set that's coming out in a couple weeks. We have two more sets that are being printed. So and we're just trying to keep getting further and further ahead so that we can have more stable releases on 4 months.
Nice. So if two people really knew the rules well, how quick does a game tend to go?
A game can go anywhere, like depending on the deck style. It can be anywhere between 15 minutes to half an hour, depending. So it's usually a pretty quick-paced game. I would say a lot of the decks kind of are aggressive decks, but you can, like, there's several different types of decks that you can play, so you can have an aggressive deck, or you can have kind of more of a control-style deck. Those games can go longer. Our normal time frame for tournaments is that you get like 50 minutes or something along those lines, but that's just so that it doesn't grind on. However, one of the cool things about the game is you cycle through your deck pretty fast, but to represent that there's a timer in the game, kind of like the timer at the top of a Street Fighter battle, you actually have, every time you go through your deck and you shuffle, you have to take the top 10 cards off of your deck and remove them from the game.
Oh.
That way, if you go through your deck too many times, you're going to have to lose that way.
Okay. Is this primarily a one-on-one game, or is it a multi?
It's a one-on-one game for the most part. We've in the past, we've kind of dabbled with two players, but it's or four players or something along those lines, but it's not really set up for that. It's more of your typical TCG.
Yeah, is this a collectible card game?
It's a collectible card game, yeah.
Okay. Well, is there any other products that you guys cover? Or?
Actually, yes. Since we have the Mega Man license, we're also doing Mega Man the board game. So it was kickstarted last December. We had 2,600 backers, and it's currently in the final stages of approvals for the majority of stuff. We have a couple miniatures that are left, sculptures that need to be approved by Capcom, and then they're going to go into what's called the tooling phase, where they get molds made and everything like that, and then
because the Kickstarter reached a certain threshold, they're going to be colored miniatures. And so after all of that stuff gets approved, we actually have to get the colors approved by Capcom as well. So that's like the last major hurdle after everything goes to print. But ultimately, we were told by our printer, if we can get everything by the end of August, which is entirely reasonable, that we could be looking at a potential potentially having the game sometime shortly in the new year.
Okay. Well, is there a website?
Oh, yeah, JaskoGames.com. However, I was also going to say something that we're unveiling here at Gen Con right now is called the Dead Meat game, and we're actually going to be kickstarting that on October 31st, Halloween. It's a skirmish tactical miniature game, so obviously a smaller amount of models than say Warhammer 40K or War Machine or something along those lines. And what it is that it's set in the zombie apocalypse, but it's not your typical zombie game. It's not you and your friends going and hacking up a bunch of zombies. It's actually human versus human combat, and the zombies are tactical elements, because as you fight, you make noise. And so when you, the more noise you make, the more opportunity your opponent has to have zombies show up. And they will actually, you get to deploy them around your opponent to force them out of fortified positions, or make them move, or distract them from your team, or something along those lines.
All right, and you said his Kickstarter starts on the 31st?
Yes, it starts on Halloween.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the components that are going to go into the game, or is that Kickstarter dependent?
Well, right now we have four factions planned. We're still at the beginning stages. Right now we're gathering concept artwork to flush out the factions. Our designer has a really in-depth universe kind of, or world, as it were, because it's not a universe quite yet. But he's got a really in-depth, very nice, cool story. And so I think that's going to be one of the strong points that helps us get more things. But we've got several models of four factions planned, and we're, like as I said, we're getting the concept right now, and then once that's all approved, then we're going to start the sculpting process and get some more art for the book and everything like that.
Did you say you had a website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, we do have a website. It's JaskoGames.com. We have several Facebook pages. We have Jasco Games as a Facebook page. We have the Universal Fighting System as a Facebook page. We have Mega Man the Board Game as a Facebook page. And we just launched this morning the Dead Meat Quarantine Zone America page. So people can just look up those, and they should be pretty much near the top during any search.
Are there any other conventions you're going to for the rest of the year?
We've discussed a couple, but nothing set at the moment. We're kind of... We're looking into all the different conventions, and people have asked us to come to conventions. Right now, we're really busy. So coming to a convention is kind of like one of those things. We'd like to do more, but it's a question of time and money.
Yeah.
So
great. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that'll do us tonight for the Nerds Domain podcast. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find us on /loot, where you can buy our shirts, and we will talk to you guys real soon.
This has been a production of the Omega Nerds Network, the network where it's on.